Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus.
When you're born in Chicago, you're blessed and you're healed. The first time you walk into Wrigley Field, our heroes wear pinstripes, heroes in blue. Give us the chance to feel like heroes too. Forever we'll win, and if we should lose, we know someday we'll go all the way. Yeah.
Although Pearl Jam has been closely identified with its native Seattle since bursting onto the charts 25 years ago, Chicago has often served as an important stop for the rock group. Lead singer Eddie Vedder is a Windy City native and a massive Cubs fan. And when the band headed to Wrigley Field for a pair of sold-out concerts in August 2016, filmmaker Danny Clinch went along. The longtime music photographer and documentarian shows the band on stage and off in what proved to be a big year for Pearl Jam and a bigger one for the Cubs.
This is going to be a tough play. The Cubs win the World Series! Brian makes the play!
Let's Play 2 is screening around the country in the next several days. In our region, it'll be at the Spectrum in Albany October 3rd, Proctor's in Schenectady October 4th, Palace 9 in South Burlington October 10th, and on Fox Sports 1 October 13th. Danny Clinch, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I know you've worked with the band a lot in the past. How did you get involved in this particular film and project?
You know, the band, I had gone to Wrigley 2013, which was incredible. One of the best shows, two of the best shows I had seen the band play. And it's super exciting, and we all know Eddie's connection to Chicago and the band's connection, not just Ed's, but, you know, the band's, you know, love of Chicago, having played an early show at the Metro there. And when they put the shows on the calendar again, the band came to me and said, hey, we're thinking about filming these shows. And, what do you think? And I was like, well, yeah, of course, you know, sign me up. So we collaborated with their road team of camera operators and filmmakers and stuff. And then we also, you know, created our own document by, following different stories in the band and the backstage stuff and all that, which was really cool. And, we just kind of hoped that the shows would be good, as, you know, we all do when we're putting so much effort into filming something. And the shows were epic. And I think the folks that were there all know that already. And then at a certain point, you know, we all recognized the fact that the Cubs were on a tear and they were, you know, playing very well and it looked good for them. And we thought, wow, what if the universe, you know, gives us a World Series with the Cubs? And it did. And, I remember during the shows, I was with Eddie and Theo Epstein, the GM of the Cubs, and I said, hey, you know, if the Cubs make a run, you know, I'm coming back to Wrigley. And we all agreed at that point, like, okay, and I did. So I came back with a small crew, and we hung around and we filmed not only time with Ed and going to the games and that sort of thing, but also what was going on in and around Wrigleyville, and it was really exciting. I mean, it was one of the coolest projects I've ever worked on, and I'm not sure I've worked harder on anything in my career in terms of just really buttoning down and, like, making the project the best it could possibly be. It was very exciting.
It would have been a very different movie had the Cubs, you know, not won the World Series in such dramatic fashion. I have to imagine that, you know, you got pretty lucky in terms of the baseball end of it working out, but were there other directions that you had to leave behind because the Cubs did end up going on to win in Game 7?
You know, I think it just made the movie a little longer because a lot of the themes that we were shooting for, like, you know, like Wrigleyville and it's sort of like the neighborhood style of this particular baseball park, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Wrigley is in the middle of a neighborhood. It's not like you go and you're surrounded by a parking lot, you know. You're right in the mix of everything and all the people, all the fans, the bars around Wrigleyville and around Wrigley are just part of the fabric of what's going on there. And it made it really exciting. So, like, for example, you walk out of the ballpark and you're walking to Brownstone's, Murphy's bleachers, you're surrounded by parties and people, and it's not like you're walking out into a parking lot full of cars of people that are going to leave. You know, everybody's hanging out, everybody's celebrating, whether it's a Pearl Jam show or a Cubs game, and it's just the vibe there is so good, and the people are so kind, and it's just like really it's something to experience for sure.
Now, one of my favorite parts of the movie is the way you mix in old home movies of the group from very early trips to Chicago when the band was starting to take off. Can you talk a bit about how, A, that footage was found, and B, how you decided to deploy it?
Yeah. I had seen that footage online a couple of times, you know, as a fan of Pearl Jam and stuff, and knowing that Kevin Shuss, who has been working with the band since they were touring in a van, had captured these great moments. I mean, he and Ed are friends. They've been hanging out for a long time, and this was in the early part of the career where they were just happened to come to Chicago for a show at the Metro. And Kevin, of course, had his camera and was, like, following it around Wrigley, because certainly, as you will see, you know, Eddie was just thrilled to be there. He was just, like, amazed at, and was telling stories about his childhood there. He was just basically, you know, telling his friend, like, what it meant to him to be there. And we had seen this footage, and we thought, oh, my goodness, this is incredible. And we had tracked it down. And of course, we spoke to Kevin, and he offered it up to us. And it just was such a nice little snapshot, and then the ability to be able to cut back and forth to what Ed is talking about Wrigley today and back then as well was really, really cool. It was a couple of really sweet moments in the film thanks to that footage. And it was fun to cut back and forth between the two and, like, weave the stories together.
We're talking to filmmaker Danny Clinch about Let's Play 2, which will be screened in theaters around the country in the coming days. Pearl Jam's famous for playing, 30, 33 songs a night and not repeating them over two nights. So you had a lot of music to choose from for the songs that did make the film. How did that process work?
Well, it was incredible. I mean, afterwards, you had two nights worth of songs. And I think at the end of the day, we boiled it down to what we felt was the essence of the set list that the band had created in terms of flow. You know, like they came out like kind of quietly and built up, and there's an ebb and flow to the set on both nights, and we tried to honor that spirit in the selections that we made. And then, of course, as the film goes on, we also were connecting songs to moments in the film. So as a storyteller, as a filmmaker who's creating a story, there's connections between the scenes, before that song and after that song, or after that song. And so it was fun to do that, and it was difficult too. And to leave out certain songs was just so painful, which is why we were able to add some bonus songs onto the Blu-ray and some of the digital download stuff. I hope I'm not giving something away, but I think people know at this point what's being offered. But those are incredible too, and it's this is a great story about the band. And their relationship to Wrigley and Chicago. And so it was cool to kind of weave that stuff in there and handle it that way.
You mentioned you're a fan of the group, obviously, and you've worked with them a lot over the years. Are you able to enjoy the shows when you're there in the capacity as the filmmaker who's going to be working on a project for the next year?
Yeah, that's a great question. I occasionally, I guess rarely, would wander into the crowd and just feel the vibe of the music and see what the fans were experiencing. And I also end up on the stage a lot because as I'm directing the filming, I have a crew of people who I've worked with a bunch and I trust them. And, you know, once it's on, you know, I'm letting them do their job. And if I see something that I need to, you know, direct, so to speak, I'll speak up and I'll help finesse things as we go along. I'm also taking photographs, and the band has, you know, trusted me enough to go on the stage and hide behind an amplifier here and there or at the side of the stage and shoot photographs, which is always really fun also. So my experience is probably unlike most anybody's in the sense that I almost feel like I'm part of what's going on there. You know, I'm like, you know, sticking and moving, hiding behind amplifiers, jumping up for a photo, you know, and as well as, you know, keeping my eye on my camera operators and what's going on there. It's the important thing to note for anyone is that, you know, filmmaking is teamwork, and it's a lot of teamwork between Blue, who runs the Pearl Jam video team, and, you know, my producers and my camera operators and you know, everybody down the line, the editors for sure, huge part of the story. And it's exciting to assemble a great team that can pull something like this off.
I want to ask you about another moment in the film that was just very touching, and that's when Steve Gleason, who used to be in the NFL and he's suffering from ALS. People may have seen a documentary about him called Gleason. He comes out on stage and addresses the crowd using the machine he uses to speak now, and has a moment with the band. I'm so glad that you included that in the film. Can you tell us a bit about capturing that moment?
Yeah. You got to be on your toes. You're wandering around and you're trying to make sure you don't miss anything. And I just happened to wander up, you know, before the show. And I had talked to Mike earlier and he said Steve was going to, you know, go out and present one of the songs, Inside Job, that, you know, Mike had written. And I happened to be over there. The way this thing was shot was that, like, a lot of it is very spontaneous. So I have, like, you know, my film crew who have their set places to be, and then we have a couple of roaming cameras around, and then I have a camera in my hand in case I'm somewhere that's more intimate that, you know, you don't want a whole film crew in the room, you know, and it just, like, helps me capture these beautiful moments that you can't with a bigger crew. And so I had this little, you know, HD camera, and I saw Mike, you know, over there speaking with Steve about what was going to go on and how it was going to go. And I floated over there and I was able to quietly capture their little interaction together. And then, of course, you know, it floats into the bigger moment on the stage, which is really epic. And, you know, Mike's friendship with Steve and Steve's with the whole entire band is really important to all of them. And his resilience and his tenacity is an inspiration to everybody, and I think they're honored to have him there, and he was grateful to be there, and it's really a beautiful moment. I'm glad you pointed that out.
This next song is one of my all-time favorite songs ever. Everyone who has a heartbeat will face adversity. But when you experience those moments, like the message in this song, please remember this. How we choose to feel is how we are.
We've been talking about Pearl Jam today, but you've worked with everybody in music just about. What are you working on now? What's your next film?
Well, I spent the day with Bruce Springsteen yesterday, which was not bad.
That's pretty cool.
For a day at the office. No, I actually went to his place and we did some photographs for a magazine story, which was really cool. In terms of film stuff, I have been working on a film about Shannon Hoon and Blind Melon. Shannon's family, his daughter Nico, had given me a bunch of his tapes because he was kind of a relentless filmer, believe it or not. He was very much a documentarian. And he filmed all the time. And I knew this because I hung out with him a lot, and I saw him filming all the time. And we were doing a bit of a documentary on the band anyway, and then we realized that we had this pure gold of stuff that Shannon himself had filmed, and that to show the world his story through his own eyes would be really unique and incredible, and that's what I'm working on right now, specifically.
Well, let's make a date, Danny, to have you back on the show. I think I still have soup in my head from the first time I heard it, so we'll love to have you back on to talk about that when it's finished. In the meantime, Let's Play 2 will be screening around the country, and in our region, it'll be at the Spectrum in Albany October 3rd, Proctor's October 4th in Schenectady, and Palace 9 in South Burlington on October 10th. You can also see it on Fox Sports 1 on October 13th. Danny, I love your work, and it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.